Hi, this is Christopher Judge for Geek Pride Podcast. Indeed.
Hi, everybody. Mike Geary for Geek Pride at MCM Manchester 2018. And with me,
Laura Benson, also known as Lola in Progress.
Ah, yeah. We finally meet.
We've only ever talked online, and I've just made fun of you and sworn at you online.
Yes.
Yeah. But finally meeting in the flesh.
And we are here, and you are Wonder Woman.
I am Wonder Woman.
You're wonderful, as that guy said.
Yeah, I've not heard that joke about 30 times today.
Okay.
Great.
We'll talk about the convention,
yes,
and stuff later on. But as obviously a cosplayer as well, what is it like as an experience to walk around this sort of place? You were talking to me about sort of this people, like, literally it's always coming up to asking for photographs.
Yeah, like, sometimes, you know, as a cosplayer, I completely understand that I am basically coming out here and putting on a show, and I am basically saying, look at me, you know? But sometimes it can be a bit like, I am sitting down and eating. Like, can you maybe, like, wait or catch me later or something like that? But people just come up constantly, or they'll see you talking to a friend, and they're like, totally going to interrupt, but you need to hug me right now, and I need to tell you my life story, which is lovely, but it can be a little frustrating when you're just trying to enjoy, you know, I'm not here as a guest, I'm still here as an attendee myself.
Yeah.
But people treat you like you're part of the show.
Yeah, true. Very true. I think there just needs to be some sort of decorum when it comes to these sort of things.
I think don't do anything you wouldn't do to a random stranger on the... Like, would you walk up to a random stranger, like in Tesco, and be like, man, can I have a hug? you know, like, it's...
There was like loads of people wandering around sort of doing the free hugs thing. And I was like, I'm super sweaty after carrying all this equipment around.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm just going to hug you and you're going to wish you hadn't got that sign.
that backfired on me a few years back. So a guy came up to me and he's all like, free hugs. And I thought I'd be like smart. And I was like, well, that's too bad because I charge for mine.
Oh, no.
And he looked me dead in the eye and he just went, how much? And I was like, shit. So I thought, okay, I'll tell him something. And then he will be like, oh, that's too much, and like leave me alone. So I was like, oh, that figure on that table right there, like it was like a 200-pound figure. He starts pulling out his goddamn wallet. And I was like, no, I was joking. I was literally joking. Please don't buy me anything. Jesus Christ.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So there's that moment where sometimes you think, like, you know, you just don't think, and you think, oh, I'm just going to say something smart-ass back. But some people don't have, like, the social skills to, like, realize you're being an asshole.
I think you get a fair few of them. They just literally, there is no sort of, what's the word?
Understanding?
Yeah, understanding. It's like, I'm just checking what time it is now so we know where we're going from there on. Sorry. Being rude. There's some strange people.
Yeah, some of them are lovely. I met a fantastic girl today. It's her 14th birthday. She's dressed as Wonder Woman, and she was so excited to be here and so excited to take photos with other Wonder Women. And I just, you know...
Did you make this all yourself?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
And the thing that I love about it, I've worn it like so many times, people are probably sick of it, but like I like to wear this in Supergirl because they're like Monday female superheroes that, you know, little girls are now growing up with, that, you know, boys had Batman and Superman for so many years. So when I wear this and I wear a Supergirl, you have so many little girls, you know, just they're 3 to 12 coming up and looking at you in absolute awe. And I've had girls go, I want to be like you one day. And can I hold your sword? Aww. And I'm going to own a sword one day, which, sorry, parents. But it feels incredible to be able to give these little girls that kind of thing that, you know, I had when I was 5-year-old and Batman picked me up and put me on his Batmobile in a parade, you know?
Do you think, sort of, it's going to get into a deep cosplay conversation, but do you feel that cosplay has... Let's try and put this diplomatically. You think it's got slightly toxic over the years?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I used to live in Australia, and I've lived here, and I've got many international cosplay friends, so I've had a bit of experience. I think the problem comes when people just take it too seriously. Mm. You know, at the end of the day, we're adults dressing up as, you know, it's fancy dress, but like to the extreme. If you don't have fun, if at the end of the day you're not here to have fun, then I think then you just get in this mindset where people just think, well, if I don't get attention, then what's the point of me doing it?
Yeah.
And, you know, I see people get upset because they say, you know, I spent 20 hours making my costume and I went to a convention, no one took a photo of me, and it ruined my day. And you think you've got to be able to have fun regardless of whether someone takes a photo or not.
I think the fun is in the actual making the
for me.
Yeah, definitely.
I used to buy them, but now I make them. And I just finished making Yennefer from Witcher 3.
Oh, okay.
And I had such a blast making it. Like, I enjoyed making it more than I'm going to enjoy wearing it tomorrow, especially since I've got, like, giant heels.
I was saying that some of the earlier and stuff, like, I do the odd one. Like, I've done, like, a sort of Crimson Empire, like, Stormtrooper outfit, so the red, and I've done me and my girlfriend did Green Arrow and White Canary. Black Canary, sorry. And, making those outfits and stuff, I love making the armor and stuff, and I think it looks good, but then you get to a point where you're just like, I just want this to end because it's taking so long, and you're just like, why can't it just be over now?
Weirdly, with Yennefer, I was like super motivated and clear-headed, and I knocked that out really quickly with like no stress, like nothing went wrong, everything just worked the first time. So I think tomorrow it's gonna like explode off me comically.
Yeah.
Because
is that what you're wearing tomorrow then?
Oh yeah, yeah. So Yennefer, her alternate outfit. But yeah, it feels weird to have it go right.
Okay.
Yeah, so I have like no problems, no stress while making it, because normally there's something that stresses you. You know, like for this, I'd like to say everything stressed me about it, top to bottom. But I think if you can enjoy actually making it, then you can feel pride in what you've made. You know, to create something, and then you learn all these amazing skills that you end up using in life, like. When I was younger, I used to have to take stuff to the tailor to get brought up and stuff. And now I just do it myself and save myself a goddamn fortune.
It's very true. And I'm just worried about this guy here.
Yeah.
He's just about to back into my expensive camera and knock it over. So hopefully he will not do that.
Diplomatically.
Yeah, it's like,
excuse me.
That's right. Hey, it's all right.
We're good.
We'll leave him. It's all right.
That was my really overly polite professional voice just coming
excuse
through,
me.
By the way.
Yeah.
I used to work in, like, I do a lot of customer service.
So I
go from being like, oh, mate, get fucked, to turn around and be like, hi, my name's Laura. I work for Geek Pride today. Can I give an interview? And afterwards, I just get you to sign a consent form. That'd be lovely. Thank you. It's like a completely different persona.
Amazing. Yeah, it's like people's phone voices
and stuff. Yeah, yeah.
You're talking right, mate, blah, blah. And it's like, hello.
Yeah,
and it's like, what's that noise?
Yeah, I worked in telesales, so I'm even worse on the phone. Like, I have answered my friend's phones like, hello, this is Jeremy's phone. He's currently driving at the moment, but can I take a message or pass something on to you?
There's a guy in the background doing weird things.
I actually have a bet that we are going to have, like, a Deadpool doing this at some point.
Yeah, you're going to have some random guy in the background.
Yeah, yeah.
Doing random things with his man bag.
Just so edgy.
Yeah.
So edgy.
Yeah. okay, so what have you thought so far of the convention? Busy?
Yeah, it's a lot busier than last year, and the weather sucked, but fortunately, it seems to be a little cooler than it was predicted to be. But I think because we've had rain on and off, people just flood inside.
Yeah.
And but it's been hard to move through the corridors. I've found that more stressful.
Yeah, I think it's like we said earlier. I think this convention, because I've been here from the first one. So, I remember this hall being nearly empty, and not being a lot in it. And it not having the extra bits in the side. But I think it's getting to the point now where it's outgrowing the venue.
Oh, yeah. It's bursting at the seams.
And the issue is, there's nowhere else for it to go.
Yeah.
Now, they could do it in the Event City in Trafford or something.
Yeah.
But that's Trafford. Here's very central, so it's a shame. I just don't know what they could do to sort of kind of progress it, to be honest.
Yeah, I think one of the beauties of UK conventions is Australian conventions are often held at convention centres very far away from a populace.
Are they like 40 days drive in the outback?
40 days drive. you've barely moved anywhere on a map. So not only do you have to commute in every day, you don't really have like an after party kind of scene. People don't gather afterwards. There's no social life to it.
Yep.
Whereas UK cons, because they often happen near hotels, hotels, people could go back to their room, get changed, drop off their swag, go out for dinner, go to a pub, go hang out. It's a really fantastic social thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you take it to a venue that doesn't have that available, like when you look at when Showmasters moved LFCC to their current venue in
Olympia,
the social scene almost disappeared because there's nothing to do around the event.
Showmasters do Play Expo, which I freaking love. Now, they own Showmasters now. I love it. But every time I've been to LFCC, it's been a bit of a nightmare.
I was there for the first time they moved to Olympia, and it was literally so bad at the time. I was like, I will never do another Showmasters event
Was
again.
It super hot? Was it like three or four years
ago? It was horrifically hot. It was horrifically overcrowded. There were people sneaking in through Pizza Express without tickets as well, so that made even more crowds. The air conditioning wasn't turned on. There was a whole bunch of event, like they'd advertised some cars and stuff, like cars from TV, stuff like that. They never even turned up because they couldn't even get them in the venue.
It was a
shit show. And to this day, if you say, "Oh, the Olympia," everyone always goes, "Oh, I remember." Yeah. It was like 2015.
We had a really crappy little sort of bed sit that we stayed in when we were down there.
Yeah.
And it was
staying
grim.
Around Earl's Court as well, it's a tourist trap.
Yeah,
so the places are crap and overpriced.
Yeah. Well, that's it. Even if you go down to sort of Excel for MCM in London and stuff.
Oh, they're gouging these days.
I used to, but then it was costing me like hundreds of pounds and stuff. So what I generally do now, if I go, is I get an Airbnb across the river and then just sort of walk across.
You know, I tried that once, and the Airbnb that I rented, I got into the room and they're showing me around, and I went, "It's really hot here. Can we open a window?" They opened the window and it fucking fell out. It was a high rise and this giant window fell out of the building. And I just kind of looked down and I was like, "I'm not paying for that."
Yeah.
And I'm not staying here either.
So what did you do?
Funnily enough, I ended up going across to the Crown across the road and ended up getting two rooms for the exact same price.
Wow.
I was like, that's weird. But yeah, I used to be able to stay in the Crown for like $350 for three nights. That's entirely reasonable, especially if you share £50 a night. During Star Wars Celebration a couple of years ago, that same room cost £700.
Yeah.
We managed to like fit some extra people in on the sly, which I'd never feel comfortable doing because you never know if security's going to kick you out. And I work in a hotel. I know there's good reasons for not room stuffing, but £700 for 3 days.
Yeah. It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money. That being said, I'm the man who went all the way to San Diego for a Comic-Con, so...
I mean, if you want to buy me a ticket,
we got press. We did the press thing, so I'm thinking about going back sort of in a few years.
Well, I know Josh. Josh is really eager to do it next year.
He is, but I don't think he realizes how expensive it's going to be.
Yeah, like you've got your hotels, you've got the flights.
Like we got because it was me, my brother, my mate Ali, a guy called Gav, and then Nick and Gary from Sneaky Zebra were all in an Airbnb together.
Yeah,
and it was like 5 minutes drive from the convention center, and it was on the top of the hill in San Diego, and it was super cheap, really good.
Yeah.
But that was because there was loads of us all in one room.
Yeah, I think I remember Gary telling me he was sleeping on like an airbed.
He was sleeping on an airbed, and it was a great time.
Yeah,
and then we just got like an Uber down, and that cost us a couple of dollars. You know, nothing. You know,
I have heard though that San Diego Comic Con is getting like people are finding it. Much like what's happening here today, it's outgrown the venue.
Yeah.
So I've heard that New York Comic Con is actually very good and very well run, so I'm kind of interested to check out that one.
Yeah, to be honest, there's a few. I wouldn't mind us sort of doing, what's it called, KatsuCon, possibly, and things like that. But San Diego's... The thing about San Diego...
It's the pinnacle.
Yeah, but the thing about San Diego Comic Con, and I've said this about a million times, is it's not even the convention. Like, we went in a few times... And you look around, and there's a load of stuff. And it is as busy as any convention you get in the UK.
Yeah.
You are literally just rammed in. It takes ages to move around. It's huge. But what makes San Diego Comic-Con amazing is the experience outside.
Yeah.
So you literally have everything. Like people said, you can go to the convention and enjoy yourself and not go inside.
Yeah.
And I didn't believe them. You can. There's so much going on in all the pubs and all the things around. You can do all kinds of cool stuff. And it's that whole thing, which is amazing. So like what I would do is I give somebody my press pass to, you know, one of my mates who didn't have a ticket. I said, "Look, you know, I'm a press pass." So he walked in and wandered around, and me and my brother and stuff, we talked to people and we did stuff outside.
Yeah.
And they, outside the convention, and it was amazing. Really, really super enjoyed it.
Yeah, I'd really like to go. I've actually never been to America, so that's the other thing as well, is if I was to go, I wouldn't just, like for UK Con, like for here at Manchester, I've come down on the Friday, leave on the Monday, whereas if you were to go to that, you'd want to come down for extra days, you know,
experience
the area, do a bit of touristy stuff like that.
San Diego, they close all the bars at like 2 in the morning. Everything closes, so you can't carry on drinking. So we like got to the point where like we're in the convention, so we're out in a place called Henry's Pub in the Gaslight District, and we went there every night getting super smashed, and it's like, all right, kicking out time. It's like, what?
Yeah.
It's only like 1:30, 2:00, and you're kicking us out. And we, you know, we were sitting there kind of going, and everything's closed.
Yeah.
Like, everything's closed, and you're just like, oh, I guess we'll just go back to the flat now then, I guess.
So. Yeah. Yeah, it's really disappointing when you don't get that. Like, I remember one of the best times is we were, I think, at an expo, and expo always happens, the October one, around when British daylight savings ends.
Yeah.
And we were in the bar, and I was like, what time do you close? They're like, 1 a.m. I'm like, that sucks, but whatever. I suppose that's all we've got. 1 a.m. hits. But of course, the clocks ticked back, so it was back to 12 o'clock again.
Right, okay.
And all the staff just had this sudden realization that they had to stay up for another hour because that's what was advertised.
Yeah,
could just see everyone in the bar, just like silently just being like,
in the Fox.
Yeah, motherfucker. No, I hate the Fox.
You don't like the Fox?
I hate the Fox. I don't know what's worse. The 3 or 4 guys always having a really bad lightsaber battle outside while drunk every year. the one dude who'll wear his costume, not say anything to anyone, and just prowl around the Fox for you to say something about his costume. Doesn't talk.
There's always a topless guy as well.
There's always a topless guy. You hear the Pokemon theme song like a good 12 times in 1 hour.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I will sing along to that motherfucker any day of the week. But like maybe like once, maybe not like on repeat.
I have fond memories of the Fox, to be honest. But I haven't been to MCM in London for a while, to be honest. But I have some fond memories.
Since they sold the upper floor to like Starbucks. There's a lot less space now.
Last time I went, I think they had just done that. And I had bought myself a bottle. I did a proper sort of like, you know, teenage scummy thing.
Yeah.
I bought myself a bottle of vodka from the shop that was across the river. And I just filled like half a bottle of Pepsi. And I just stood outside drinking it. And yeah. I was just really drunk.
It's not even a price thing. It's a getting to the bar thing.
Yeah, that's it. It is. That's it. I was like, I'm not queuing in that bar.
Yeah, because you can spend like an hour just trying to get a drink. It's ridiculous.
Then
you go to the Novotel, which people have trashed to the point where they actually genuinely hate us.
Told you.
First one. Oh, watch out.
I told you.
Oh.
He's knocked the thing. Oh, we'll move over here.
Okay, we're good.
We're good.
Are we good?
We are good. I told you, though, literally, there's wires in front of you. There's a camera in front of you. Yet somebody will walk right through it. Right through the whole thing.
Every time.
It really grinds my gears.
Yeah. Your gears?
My gears.
Are you going to get, like, a shirt made like that?
Well, no, because I did a short-lived series on YouTube called What Grinds My Gears. I think I might bring some of that. Number two. Camera. Wires. That's right, dude. You just walk in front of the camera. That really grinds my gears.
We could do like a CinemaSin style thing, and we would get like a point for every time we get like someone walk past or like dance in the background.
It's you know what it is? It's just spatial awareness. People with no spatial awareness. And it's like, what'll happen is you'll just have sort of some guy just strangely looking at you from over there.
Yeah, some guy just staring dead. You know, staring me dead in the eye, soulless eyes. It's because he's South African.
Oh, I'm South Africans.
Yeah. Hey. No, that was my friend just coming by to taunt me. Because he knows I actually hate talking into a microphone.
On front of camera.
No, it's just, my accent's really weird, you know? You have to agree. Like, everyone I talk to thinks it's really weird.
Really? Did you not think, because when I first came over from Northern Ireland to Manchester, I was so conscious of my accent because I didn't really, like, it didn't bother me because I'm in Northern Ireland, everybody talks like me. And then I come across here, and then people are like, huh? And I was just like, oh my God, what's going on? And then they go, no, I like it. And I was like, all right, okay.
What I get is I'm Australian, but my accent wasn't even a typical Australian one. So even in Australia, with people who've known me my whole life, they were like, oh, you're American, right? And I'm like, I fucking hate you. So, I can guarantee you what I'll do is I'll meet someone. Literally, this happened about 20 minutes ago. Riker comes up to me. Can I get a photo? Yeah, sure, that's fine. Oh, you're American. no, I'm not.
Did he play his trombone?
If he had.
You would have been his.
Yeah, just take me like that. Yeah, but then they go, oh, if you know American, where you're from. Sometimes they want to play a guessing game about it, and you just sat there like, cool, I'm enjoying this. Then you tell them you're from Australia, and then they have to tell you they've got an aunt, sister, uncle, brother, whatever, who's currently there, going there, just come back from there. Then they name the place, and like, you definitely know that place, and you definitely know that person.
Yeah.
Half the time they'll be like, oh, they're DJing in Byron Bay, and I'm like, they're doing drugs. I know your son told you he's DJing in Byron Bay, but I promise you, he's not.
I always get the, they're from such and such a place. Do you know Mary? And I was like, no.
No.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you can. Australia is huge.
It's a continent.
It's fucking massive. It's ridiculous. Yeah, and then they'll tell you the one time they went in a life story, and you're just like, I don't care.
I don't care.
And I work in hospitality, so if I serve like a table, I'll come back and they'll like, oh, we've all been having a little discussion and a competition over what your accent is, and you just have to sit there and go, all right, give me your best guesses. South African, Canadian, Scottish. One guy once said German, and I was like, you're a fucking idiot.
I get American quite a
yeah,
lot and
American
stuff.
All the time.
It's just like,
except from Americans who are like, you don't sound anything like us, and I'm like, I know. I need to now go to America and see what they think I am.
Yeah. When we're in America, they have like, they call waistcoats vests.
Okay.
And, they're like, and it was really annoying me because it was just like, you know, oh, nice vest. It's like, I'm not wearing a vest. I'm wearing a waistcoat. But that's a vest. It's like, no, it's not. It's a waistcoat.
Oh.
And I was just like, and I refused to order fries. I was like, chips. I'll have some chips, please. And I'm like, well, we don't sell chips. I was like, you do. Chips.
They call our scones biscuits.
Yeah, what is that?
And I was like, no, it comes with cream and it comes with jam. It is a scone. I was like, I'm half British and I'd never been more British in my life because I was in Singapore and
glad you call them scones, by the way.
Yeah.
You're not a scone person.
A scone.
Yeah, my missus calls them scones and it's like, it's a scone.
Yeah, like on the board, it was like, have chips and, a burger and in your meal deal, you can have a biscuit. And I'm looking at it and there's a photo of it. And I'm like, that's a fucking scone. That's not a biscuit. And so I tried to order. I was like, oh, yeah, and I'll have a scone. And they're like, a what? I'm like, a scone. A what? A scone. A what? And I was like, I'm not saying it. The thing with the jam and cream, I refuse to call it a biscuit. But no, I get that all the time since I've come from Australia. For example, in Australia, if I say pants, I mean basically anything that covers me from the waist down that has two legs.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas here, a lot of people seem to just think underwear.
Yeah, underwear is pants.
Yeah. So I said to someone like, oh man, I sewed my first pair of pants the other day and they're like, too much information. And I was like, but they're really cool. They're like leather and they're like, that's uncomfortable.
But to be honest, it's true. In people who say pants, in their defense, these are technically called underpants.
Yeah.
So it would imply that these are overpants or pants. Yep. So yeah, so it's just a thing, isn't
and
it?
And then I get the thong thing.
Right.
Australia thongs are flip-flops.
What?
Yeah, yeah.
So the things that I wear on my feet.
Yeah, yeah. We call them flip-flops.
Oh, okay.
Oh, sorry, we call them thongs. Sorry, you guys call them flip-flops. So we're just about, oh, mate, had to buy a new pair of thongs. And people are like, what? I don't need to know that. We call a Speedo a budgie smuggler.
All right, okay.
There's an interesting fun
yeah,
one
yeah.
for you.
Yep.
But yeah, you just get these funny little cultural differences now and then that you just realize that you're both speaking the same language and yet neither of you know what each other means.
That's really weird.
Like the data thing.
All right.
Like
yep.
It's weird. Like if I'm talking about information, I say data. If I'm talking about the character, I say data.
I say data. Do I say data? Yeah, I say data. I'm pretty sure I say data.
There's a phrase here in the UK, that'll be a doddle.
A doddle, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'd never fucking heard that in my life. I get here and I said, I was in a store. I was like, oh, can I get this change in fives? And they're like, oh, that'll be a doddle. And I was like, is that a form of currency?
It's like a dime or something like that.
What
Here's your doddle.
What is going on? And then there was like a Jennifer Aniston ad running at the time where someone like was setting up her internet and they handed her a dongle and she plugged it in. She goes, oh, it's a doddle. And I'm like, no, you fuck. It's a dongle.
Oh, there we go. Colloquialisms.
I get angry about like the smallest weird things.
Yeah. Oh, man.
But yeah, no, it's, I think it was actually really interesting. Star Wars Celebration a few years ago, huge American audience came over here.
Really?
And it was really interesting to kind of see the difference between American Congoers versus British.
Why? I don't understand.
Because they've got much more friendly.
They've got Anaheim. Is that where they have theirs? Anaheim?
Well, it moves. It moves around the world, so it gets put in different locations. So I think this was the first time being in the UK for 10 years.
Right, okay.
So a lot of Americans were there. And they were so friendly. I just didn't know what to do with it.
The thing is, Americans are friendly. And yeah, I think it's wherever you go. Like you always say, oh, they're so friendly. But I think in most places you go, you will find friendly people in friendly areas. It's just that you sort of associate, like, with British people, you associate them with, like, Lager Lights and, like,
I mean, to be fair, one of the things I did love when I first came to the UK is in the Australian scene, it's a very kind of small community. And it's kind of hard to break into it, weirdly enough. Whereas when I first came here, I had like 30 new friends by the end of a convention. And there's not a convention I go to where I don't come away with two or three new friends.
Right.
Every time. I think people are a lot more open here, which is fantastic. But Americans were just on a different level. I had this one girl being like, you're so cute. You're amazing. You know what? We should be roommates. You should come to America and you should live with me and you'll be incredible. And I was like, calm down.
You're super enthusiastic.
Yeah, just
right.
So
super enthusiastic.
It's like, I don't know you.
I loved it. Like, you know.
Oh no, I think it's. I would love to experience an entire convention full of these super enthusiastic people.
Yeah.
Because like sometimes you know some people like some nerds will just be like, "Oh, it's cool."
You've got to do it. It is just a completely experience. Unfortunately, it kind of ruins other conventions for you. Like I remember the guys from Sneaky Zebra telling me, and they were like, "Yeah, you'll probably not want to go to any other convention afterwards." And I was like, "Pacha." And then I went, this is the best thing I've ever done in my life. I loved it so much.
To be fair, I don't think I could do Australian conventions after doing UK ones.
Right.
Because not only is it, you know, like a quarter of the temperature normally, and you get so much more here. Like you actually, no one wants to fly 24 hours out to fucking Australia just to showcase for one, you know, a convention with a third of the population of the UK.
Yeah.
So, you know, you get the big brands come here and they show off stuff and you get cool, fun things and things to do. Like I think at the Birmingham MCM last year, they had this cool Pacific Rim make your own Jaeger experience thing.
Yeah.
You just never see that in Australia. And I like that kind of interaction, like that it's more than just a trade show. It's more than just here to buy stuff. There's stuff you'd actually participate in.
Yeah, so there's pop figures everywhere.
Pop figures everywhere. And yet, I spent the entirety of last MCM trying to find a chopper from Star Wars Rebels.
All right.
I went to 16 souls before I finally found one chopper. And I was like, but it's Chopper.
Apparently Master Chief, there's a Master Chief pop figure. This was quite hard to find. Karen from Geek & Son was trying to get one. So every time I see pop figures, I try to look for one just in case it's there.
But
I'll find it for you, Karen.
It almost becomes like a wall. There's so many there. It's kind of hard sometimes to focus. I eventually just end up walking up and be like, you got a Chopper? No? All right. I don't even look anymore. with the defeated tone of the long broken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, what do you think about the, talking about Star Wars, and this is a bit of a segue, what do you think about them having Carrie Fisher in the next Star Wars?
You know, I was actually reading the statement today on that, and so instead of using CGI or using a different actress, they're using unseen footage that they shot from the last film. It'll be interesting to see if they can make that work in a natural way that feel like they've had to change the plot to accommodate the footage. But apparently they have the full blessing of the family. I think Carrie probably would have wanted it because she took great glee in her role. She took great glee and amazement in the how much people loved and enjoyed what she did.
I'm kind of happy that they have done it in a way, because it would have been, it's an easy way. Like at the end of the last one, I was like, you could have just killed her. Like, as much as the last film annoyed me and the Mary Poppins thing just really frustrated me, they could have killed her off in that when the bridge blows up and stuff. But in a way, I'm kind of glad that they're doing it, because it's not the easy way out, and I think that it would be what she wanted to do.
I fully expected her to die in this film and then Luke the next, as if we get the original trio, we lose one each film.
Yeah.
And we have still, but just not in the order I think any of us expected.
Yeah.
Hamill, though, is said to be coming back for the next film, so we'll probably get Force Ghost Luke.
Yeah.
Hopefully he'll turn up in his projection, you know, slicked hair and dope outfit.
Although the CGI of him being really super young.
Yeah.
Old school look. But they've got Lando Calrissian's making his comeback.
That'll just be like, aww.
No. Well, the thing is, it's sort of, I liked Donald Glover as Lando Calrissian in Solo.
I agree. I found Solo, I had mixed feelings about Solo. I found it perfectly enjoyable.
Yeah. It was a romp. Space Western.
Just didn't find it something that I walked out of the theater going, fuck me.
Yeah.
That made an impression. Well, it was a film, and it was perfectly okay. It wasn't offensive, or it didn't make me get annoyed at anything, but it just didn't blow my mind.
Yeah, it was enjoyable, and I don't think it deserved the hit that it probably got, because that has now had a knock-on effect, and we may not get an Obi-Wan film. Which is like, why did you do that? Why did you do that?
Yeah.
It's just like, I was so looking forward to the Obi-Wan film and a Boba Fett film, and now I might not get them because everybody kicked off about something that didn't need to be kicked off. Fine, it wasn't perfect, but it was a good romp. It was enjoyable to watch. You know, what more did you want?
Yeah, I think, I don't think Disney helped themselves by kind of releasing the bad press that was happening at the time. Yeah. If they'd managed to keep, like, you know, the fact about, you know, the main actor having to have an acting coach brought in, the director changes, the constant reshoots. When you tell people things are happening, they're going to go in and think there's something wrong with this already. It's going to color their perception.
Yeah.
Like, I fully walked in expecting it to be shit, just based on what everyone had been saying in the lead ups. Like, I don't think they did themselves any favors in terms of their marketing.
We did, me and my missus went to see it, and we saw it in the 4D thing. The seats are all moving, and there's water being splashed in your face and all that stuff.
I've done the moving seat one, and I did that for Thor Ragnarok, which is brilliant because, like, you know, it shakes every time something got punched and you felt it. But I actually wasn't in the movable seats. I didn't want to pay for them because I was being cheap. Yeah. I was like a row over, but those seats were so powerful that you could still feel it on the non-movable seats. And I was thinking, if I can feel the vibrations this strongly over here, what do the actual seats feel like?
They hit you in the back and stuff?
I think this was the Cineworld one over at the O2. They call it what? Something box? Uh-huh. It's like they've like branded this one.
Yeah,
you don't get the water, you just get the movement.
Yeah.
D-box.
Yes, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. I have to admit, I would probably watch something like that again. Like, it was pretty fun. I would have liked to have seen Pacific Rim, the first one, not the second one.
I haven't seen the second one. I just heard so many bad things about it. So.
I finally watched it the other day, and I was disappointed. They just copied so much of the premise of the first film. And it's nice to have a tip, I think, to an original film, but not a copy-paste.
Yeah.
Which is kind of how I felt about Guardians of the Galaxy 2. I felt like nearly every joke was like a nod to the joke they did in the first one.
Yeah, I enjoyed Guardians of the Galaxy 2, but I felt it fell flat in certain areas and stuff, because I think it was trying to sort of be too much of a parody, but it was trying to be too much of the same film as the first one.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
It didn't sort of gain any new ground, like you said.
Yeah.
It was just sort of like nods to jokes that they had already made.
Yeah, exactly. Like Rocket being all like, oh, I need that guy's arm. Yes, we get that. It's hilarious. But it was from the first film. But when you keep repeating a joke, it becomes like when your dad tells a joke all the time and you're like, cool, dad.
That being said, in Deadpool 2, they kind of did similar things. There was a lot of references to older jokes and things that happened in the first one.
But then they gave us enough new material that it spaced it rather well. Whereas I don't think they gave us much new material in Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, it was fun. I enjoy it. I think the cast is fantastic. It's a beautifully shot film. Yondu's death was genuinely upsetting and heartbreaking. But I didn't walk... I've watched the first Guardians of the Galaxy movie like 20 times.
Yeah.
It was just brilliant. It was a breath of fresh air. This one I kind of just went, eh.
What are you talking about, Guardians of the Galaxy? And again, another good segue.
I know where you're going.
Yeah, of course you do. James Gunn, what are your views on the thing? Do you think that he deserved to be fired?
It's hard, isn't it? Because you kind of have to hold everyone to the same standard. And if he'd been, you know, a politician we didn't like and he got fired over these tweets, everyone would be like, what? Brilliant. Fuck him. But because he's someone who produces something we like, you kind of feel mad about it. But it as much as I dislike it, I mean, the tweets are 10 years old. They are despicable tweets. I read them and I was actually horrified, genuinely horrified.
There we go.
But I do believe people grow and change.
Yeah.
But the thing is you kind of, if we're going to punish people, we can't just punish people that we don't like.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, but on the same note, Disney kind of comes out looking like assholes because Johnny Depp's had much more controversy about current things he's done.
Or Disney themselves, used to have racist cartoons.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, Johnny Depp has a restraining order filed against him from his ex-wife. You know, there was the abuse allegations, yet here he's coming out in the new Fantastic Beasts movie.
Do you know what? My sort of view on it is, and I was actually going to write a piece about it, and I got halfway through it, and then I was just like, I'm going to bog myself down in this, but we all make mistakes in our life, yeah. And it's just down to me 10 years ago and me sort of even 5 years ago are completely different people than who I am now. As a person, I've grown, I've matured, I'd hope. I'm a better person because of my things. And I've done stupid shit throughout my life. There's a lot of things I have done and I would look back on that and go, why did I do that and stuff? And I think if you start, and I think this occurs to anybody, it could be Donald Trump, it could be it could be Gunn, it could be anybody, you know, good, bad, or ugly, you know. If you are somebody who has done something in the past, but you can actively show that you're not that person anymore, I don't think it should matter. And I think that what you've done, if it's something that's very recent, fine. Yeah. 10 years, I think that's a long enough period for you to kind of go, look, is this person, like, everybody's come out, his brother's come out, a lot of other people come out and said, look, he's an amazing person and stuff. You know, the jokes were horrible, they were bad jokes, but he's not that person anymore. And the way I see it is if you can demonstrably show that you are a better person now, then it shouldn't matter. Like, I was listening, like, I like my politics, and I was listening to some politician, and he'd basically done some stupid tweets when he was a student. And they came back and bit him in the ass, and he basically lost his job. I can't even remember what it was all about, but he lost his job because of these tweets. Do you know what it wasn't? It wasn't a politician. It was a gay magazine, and he was the editor now. But at the time, he had said some stupid shit like ages ago. Now, he wasn't that person anymore. He was really into gay rights, and he was doing this whole thing. And they pulled up all these tweets and things, and he's just like, I was just an angry teenager, I'm not that person anymore. And he had to resign. And it's just like, you know, if you can show that you're not that person anymore, and people around you can say, look, he isn't that person, or she's not that person, then I think it's fine. If it's somebody like Donald Trump, or somebody who's just despicable, and you can tell that they're still that person, that's fine, because they, you know, those are just they're reinforcing something he is. But if you got no proof that person is that person now, then
I think PR firms really need to kind of be more proactive, because I like watching the Philip DeFranco show. And he often says, like, you know, when a topic like this comes up, he often says, you know, I've left up my videos and stuff from when I was younger. I used to post despicable things. Here's an example of what I would post. I was wrong and I've changed, but I accept that I did that. He's gotten out ahead of it. So now anytime anyone tries to be like, oh, look what you posted back then, everyone already knows about it because he was very open about it. He's shown change, stuff like that. If I was a PR firm at the moment and I was representing anyone in any kind of public view, I'd be looking back through social media before someone, you know, someone on Twitter decides to do it, finding out if there's anything like this and getting ahead of it first.
But then you get done for, like, deleting things, and you'd be like, oh yeah, well, he deleted this post, and we've got cached versions of it. Why would he delete it if he wasn't
Like, I wouldn't delete it. I would just, like, basically get out in front of it and be like, you know, based on recent things that have been happening, I've taken a moment to look back through my own history, go over the things I've said in the past, and I'd like to talk to you about how I've changed and grown and stuff like that. And it sounds, it's basically a preemptive strike.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And, it's R2-D2.
It is R2.
Darren. Let me say hello to R2-D2. See, Darren and I do this thing, right? I don't know if R2-D2 is going to make it in. No.
I'll move the camera for you.
He's my favorite. He gives me high fives. Oh, buddy.
Ugh, there we go.
All right, so high five.
For all of you who are listening, yeah. who are listening to the podcast at the minute and not watching it, Wonder Woman's getting a high five from RTD2.
Homemade Rebel Legion represent R2D2, fantastic organization.
Yep.
And this little R2D2 is an incredible build.
An incredible build. Right, let's...
Bye, R2.
Sort of ourselves out again and then get back to it. Right.
Sorry, guys. I always just get really excited for droids. Like, if Chopper had run by now, I genuinely would have, like, dropped the mic and just, like, abandoned this entire endeavor.
When I think Chopper, I think of the...
Chopper Reed? Yeah, you say that to the Australian. Yeah.
Looks like you've done yourself a mischief.
One of Eric Banner's lesser-known roles. He's seen as so, like, highbrow kind of these days, and I always remember from his Chopper days, and oh, boy.
It's a funny
He actually
film,
used to be a comedian in Australia. He used to be on, like, kind of variety comedy shows, Australian SNL.
Oh, okay.
And he used to do a character called Poida, which is how he pronounced Peter.
Okay.
I can't meet a Peter to this day without being like, hey, Poida. G'day, Poida. And watching him back when he was in Star Trek and he was playing a Romulan, part of me, the back of my head, was just waiting for him to be like, oh, fuck off, Kirk. You know, just like, it's hard. It's amazing how some actors stay with a particular character no matter what they do.
Yeah, yeah.
You just can't see them in anything else. And for me, it's Eric Banner telling people to get fucked.
You know what I love? I love going back to old films and series and seeing people that, you know, you're big and famous now, you had small parts in sort of like things.
A couple of podcasts ago, we talked about Elementary.
Yeah, yeah.
And I decided to do a full show rewatch, you know, just because I was like, fuck, I love this show. And rewatching it, I've been like, oh, God, look, there's a guy from Supergirl, they're big now, and they're this now.
Supergirl's in, the girl who plays, I can't remember her name.
Melissa Benoit.
Yeah, she's in she's in Homeland.
No.
She's in Homeland, she gets her rack out.
What?
Seriously, man? Watched Homeland.
Do I have to, though?
Yeah, I don't mind Homeland, but there's a bit in Homeland, and she plays a stripper. And she basically gets
maybe she was looking not to be typecast by taking a role like that on, because like in Glee she was very much a very perfect girl, I suppose, and Supergirl again is pretty much like a flawless person.
Do you like Supergirl?
I'm actually a big Supergirl fan, but the last season's been meh.
I just have not. I like the DC, even the corny sort of like Guardians, not Guardians of the Galaxy. Legends of Tomorrow. I don't even know where
I was
going there.
Fucking hate that show. I just hate watch it.
Yeah, well, it's like, it's for somebody who's into his history like me, when they bastardize history on a daily basis.
Yeah, it just really... when they tried to take credit for creating Star Wars, yeah. I nearly flipped my goddamn laptop off my lap. Yes. I was so mad. I was like, you don't. No. Just no.
No. No.
Just like, you know, like if there'd been a dog in that moment, I'd be like spraying them with a water bottle.
No.
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 I was so cranky. Yeah, I really hate that they do that. I prefer shows like Timeless. I think they're much better at talking about, you know, they make minute changes to history and then they actually come back and they're like, fuck me, we changed something.
Yeah.
Or 12 Monkeys. And
the one thing that gets me about sort of Legends of Tomorrow is they're like, there's all these anomalies, we can't change history. And then they go back and then fuck with history all the time.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They had this whole thing in the last season where they're like, who was it? It was the new girl with the totem bearer. And they were like, you cannot go back and save your brother. This coming from the chick who was like, I'm gonna kill everyone I can to bring my sister back from the death. You're like, bro, you were literally on the train of let's change time 2 episodes ago. This hasn't even been like a giant character arc for you. Like 2 episodes ago. The show's writing is very poor. The acting's
There's a dude Wonder Woman.
Yeah, I saw him earlier. He looks fantastic. And his shoes are actually flat, and I'm so jealous. Like, if you're watching the video, if you notice my height keeps changing, it's me taking a shoe off now and then.
All right, okay. Yeah there just, you go. You suddenly got very short.
Yeah, I'm just like, don't. If we did this tomorrow in my Yennefer boots, I'd be as tall as you.
All right, okay.
So I'm fucked tomorrow. My feet are going to kill me.
But yeah, I'm not a massive fan of the Supergirl. I wanted to like it, and I watch all the DC series,
yeah.
But I just couldn't reconcile myself. Me and my housemate at the time, we watched the first series, and we were watching it through, and we're just like, I just can't get into it. And we kept on going, and it was just getting cheesier, and it was just like...
Well, the funny thing is that I think it's very much aimed towards a female audience who've lacked a kind of their own cheesy superhero.
Right.
I mean, you watch The Flash, it's the same levels of camp and crap.
Yeah.
But it's a guy. You know, for a girl, you're kind of looking at that. And yes, they'll be like, you know, oh, it's girl empowerment and stuff like that. And sometimes it can get a bit cheesy. Like, I'm a feminist, and I don't need to scream girl power from the ceilings at all times. They can lay it on a bit thick. But then I remember every time I cosplay Supergirl, all these little girls losing their minds and being so inspired by it I kind of give them a little bit of a leeway, whereas I give no leeway to Legends. They're just trash and no one should ever look up to them.
It's sort of kind of like the old sort of Lois and Clark from the 90s,
yes,
and stuff like that.
Which I met Dean Cain and he was fantastic. He was so cool. And then I found out he's like a recent Trump supporter and I was like, bro.
I hate when people do that.
Yeah, like Kevin.
Like, I think you're awesome, but then you do things I do not like, therefore I do not like you.
Well, like Kevin Sorbo. Like, growing up in Australia, we had like 5 TV channels, and they basically exclusively played Hercules and Xena, yeah. Which there's nothing wrong with that. Quality television. one of my life goals is to meet Lucy Lawless.
Yeah.
Incredible. And it used to be, and Kevin Sorbo as well. And then I kind of read his Facebook page, and he's not just like a bit of a prick, he's like a psychopath.
Yeah.
Like, he's one of those, Obama wasn't actually an American, he's actually a Muslim, they're trying to take our guns away from us so they can shoot us in the back, kind of. Like, he posts this stuff all the time, and I was like,
That's one thing, it's so disappointing when you get sort of, like, people who you respect and you look up to, and then you find out that they're dickheads.
Yeah, well, like, Lucy Lawless, fortunately, still flawless. Yeah. Like, she's doing charity work. She's out there supporting stuff. She's actually a good actress, unlike Sorbo, who can't do anything. I mean, I admit I loved him in Andromeda because I love my trashy sci-fi. But anyway. But Lucy Lawless, still out there, still flawless. Meeting her would be a dream. Kevin Sorbo, I'd probably just look at, and, like, the 10-year-old part of me would be like, he used to have a crush on him. And then, like, the adult part of me would be like, just, like, take those feelings and just, like, crush it.
Oh, man.
Get over it, 10-year-old me. Welcome to the real world. Adult life's full of disappointments.
Their fairy tale is dead. Gone.
Everything you love is a lie.
I'm just going to check what we're on time-wise. We are on... how long has this been going? Ooh, 47
minutes. Yes, we are.
So we got a little bit more time to. We wanted to talk about something on Thursday. You were mentioning you wanted to talk about series or something. You said we need to talk about this.
Oh, there's just been a whole bunch of trailers from San Diego Comic-Con.
Yes.
So many good trailers. It's just, I mean, like Clone Wars. Clone fucking.
I've never watched it. Don't even give me that look. It's not like I didn't want to. It's just I've never had... It's never been on for me to watch it in this certain sort of thing.
Oh, come on. Come on. Look, you know what? I'm going to send you all of Clone Wars.
Okay, cool.
And you're going to watch it this week, and you're going to realize it's fucking incredible. but to have that series come back for fans is incredible, because it was certainly kind of like unexpected too. There's something like, oh, by the way, you know that much-beloved show that everyone basically considers some of the best Star Wars, you know, storytelling ever? It's coming back for 12 episodes, and I swear to God, I just, like, screamed and, like, dropped what I was holding. It's only going to be 12 episodes, though, and it's going to be limited to the Disney streaming service, which will stop no pirates ever, but for some people, we'll find that frustrating and a barrier.
Is it going to end at the sort of beginning of The Last Jedi?
They didn't last time. Like, the Clone Wars, what they do is they really pad it out over a few years, so it's actually really good, because you get to see more of the ways that Anakin falls to the dark side, and you actually get to see the corruption within the Jedi themselves.
Okay.
You know, like, at one point, Ahsoka, who's his Padawan, asks her, what's the Clone Wars about? What are we fighting for? And she's like, well, they want to be free from us, and they're wrong.
Right.
She didn't understand any further than that.
Yeah.
And well, that is a disturbing mindset. It kind of makes you see the separatists as just wanting their own freedom rather than, but that the show shows you the different ways it's layered and interesting. We get to learn more about the Force, and we get, you know, some stuff, ancient Force stuff. We get Darth Maul back.
Oh, right,
we get his brother, whose name you did not know once upon a time, just saying, Savage Opress, who's a beast, and he's incredible. It's like, it looks like Darth Maul, but yellow, and like on like way more roids.
See, they're obviously with Solo, and if you haven't seen Solo, spoiler alert, so obviously they have the thing with
Darth Maul
at the end, and that would tie in.
It does actually tie in, because the criminal empire in Solo is the one that he actually founds in Clone Wars.
Right.
So they've been very clever with doing that, and it's really exciting to see Darth Maul back.
So you could have the whole Darth Maul versus Obi-Wan thing.
Oh, it happened.
Yeah,
dude, you have missed so much.
I know.
I've seen that.
I've seen that thing where he fights him in the fire, and then...
but that's like not the first time either. It's brilliant because Darth Maul had actually been living as like a half spider, half crazed thing on like a trash planet when his brother was sent to find him. And once he realizes that Obi-Wan's still a thing, he's all like, oh, I'm going to kill Obi-Wan. I'm going to kill that asshole so hard. Yeah. And Obi-Wan is fantastic in the show. He's basically just like, oh, you can try. It's so great. He's such a sassy bitch in this thing. Him against Sidious is fantastic. Sidious, I'm trying to remember. Not Sidious, sorry, Grievous.
Yeah.
At one point, it was something along the lines of, I can't remember, he just said along the lines of, I'm not afraid, I suppose I'll be afraid if I actually see a threat. Yeah. And Grievous is just like, ugh!
Is it Rebels then, where he fights some and he's, oh no, Rebels, Obi-Wan's older, isn't it?
Yeah.
Obi-Wan's
older. So Rebels takes place just before Rogue One, I think.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
The best Star Wars film ever made.
I love Rogue One just for K2SO.
Yeah.
And K2SO's death was the most heartbreaking thing to ever happen to me ever.
Aww.
Alan Tudyk is a gift to cinema.
Yeah,
K2SO is like, that's how I like my droids. I like them full of personality and bitchy, you know, and kind of just like, you know, like, oh, I suppose I'll help you humans because you suck. Like, you need my help.
I'm very sort of aware that there's nobody around us anymore. That we were literally hounded by, like, people, and it's literally just...
There were people, like, taking photos of us the whole time. I can't wait for 2,000 photos of me just, you know, talking into a... Like, just be, like, me paused, mouth mid-open, one eye somewhat
sexy.
Closed. Oh, yes. Oh, I love that whole myth, you know, like, oh, cosplay is so sexy. It's like I've been asked. And because, you know, people are awful, I have been asked, like, oh, would you ever have sex in your costume? And, like, my first reaction is, like, I mess up my wig? And, like, do you have 2 hours to get me out of it? And underneath it is just sweaty and, like, shapewear and probably, like, an odd bruise. Yeah. Like, I've got one. I'm working on one here at the moment. It's not sexy. I also think anyone who treats it like it's just pure, like a sex thing, is just ridiculous.
Yeah, big time.
My first UK con, I was dressed as, I will mangle this pronunciation, Alyssa Bosnokovic, the Tekken game character, the one with like chainsaw arms, she's a Gundam. I love her, she's ridiculous. I was dressed her chainsaw arms, brilliant. Guy goes like, oh, you look great. I said, oh, thank you. And he goes, bet you're going to get laid in that tonight.
Why, dude?
Why?
It's just like, come on, man.
I've often said to the people who say, like, oh, cosplay girls are just in it for attention. Look, dude, if I was this desperate to get laid, I could pay a male prostitute for less than it cost me to make my costume.
Very true.
And he'd get the job done better than some neckbeard living in his mother's basement.
High five.
Like,
amazing.
It's just such a weird kind of mindset of, you're doing this to impress us, yet girls hate us.
Yeah.
I just don't get it. I'm like, dude, I'm not trying to impress you. I'm trying to impress my best friend who's just currently on stage at the moment, and her costume is incredible, and I want her to look at my costume and go, look at your stitch work, bitch. Like, cosplayers compliment each other, not by coming up and being like, oh, your boobs look great, which I've also had from dudes. We come up to each other and like, look at the tailoring. Oh, I love this dart. And honestly, that's my favorite type of compliment. Compliment me on my craft ship, and I will just be like, you're the greatest thing ever. Come up and be like, you're so hot. And I'll be like, eh.
Moving back before we finish.
Sorry. We were talking about San Diego Comic-Con trailers.
Yeah, the trailers. So, Aquaman. I think it looks fun. I don't think it looks like it's. I think it'll be another fun film. I don't think it's going to be mind blowing.
I don't think it's going to be Wonder Woman good, yeah. But I don't think it's going to be everything else DC's made bad.
Yeah.
So they've only got from up to go.
Yeah. I'm really sad about the DC world because I love Superman.
Yeah.
And I love Man of Steel. I buzzed off. I love that film.
I actually do love Man of Steel. I think Henry Cavill is a fantastic Superman.
Yeah.
I just think he keeps getting put in bad films.
Yeah. He just bad. Yeah.
Batman vs. Superman, like...
The extended edition's better.
No, it's not. I've watched it.
It is.
It's just long. It's an extension to your pain and suffering.
I think it sort of it adds a bit more to it, I think. So, but
no one ever explains his hallucinating on top of a mountain, his dead stepdad. There's never an explanation for that. He doesn't have super ghost powers.
Yeah.
And he's just like, his father's just like, you know, like... I believe in you. It's like, no, actually, when you were alive, you were like, do not show your superpowers to anyone, even if I die. Like, Jonathan Kent basically genuinely said in the first film he would rather Clark had left his entire class to die in a drowning river bus than save them so he wouldn't get outed. Jonathan Kent was a bit of a cunt.
Okay, Shazam, what did you...
Shazam, that looks fun.
Yeah?
I'm going to have to see it, though, because I'm worried they're trying too hard to be zany.
Yeah.
Like, Zachary Levi does that dance the kids are all doing these days, and I was just like, oh, that's...
The floss? I don't even know how to do it.
Yeah, is it called the floss?
It's called the floss, I think.
I don't know. I feel like I've gotten to an age where...
My girlfriend's daughter can do it, but I can't.
I feel like if I tried at this age, it's just sad.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, like I saw that and that kind of made me cringe a bit. I know he's meant to be, like, mentally, like, what, 12-year-old boy or something, but it's still, like, just seeing, like, a grown adult do it just always makes me cringe.
Yeah.
And I know, I think they looked at... I worry that people are now looking at Thor Ragnarok and Daredevil and Guardians of the Galaxy and going, people want humor in their movies.
I just don't like too much humor. It overdoes it. It's just like, the one thing that got me about Thor Ragnarok, as much as I enjoy the film, it was just too much comedy. Too much. It sort of overdid it. I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. But it was like all the poignant good moments were sort of overshadowed by like, just like slapstick comedy, and I think I overdid it slightly.
I think that was partly due to Chris Hemsworth, because I've heard that he basically was like, I don't want to do Thor anymore because I don't enjoy doing him.
Right.
And when they kind of said, look, we're going to completely reinvent Thor, he's going to be fun, he's going to be sassy, he's not going to be a moron.
Yeah.
He was there, and I think it's good. The movies needed that fresh air.
Yeah.
But I just worry now that like when Deadpool came out and it was rated R and it was successful, they went, oh, we'll do Suicide Squad rated R. Like, that'll solve the problems with this film.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
No, stop looking at other films going, oh, let's stop what we're doing and do that. Just focus on your own project and listen to the creators.
Patience. One thing DC should have done is taken time and developed their... Marvel literally played the long game.
Oh, this was 10 years Infinity War.
Yeah.
You know, and DC, just they wanted to immediately be the Avengers.
Yeah, they just wanted, like, a new Batman. He was just blowing up things and everything. Like, everybody loves Batman, but it's just like...
The best part of Batman was in Batman vs. Superman, where he's just taking down street thugs.
Oh, mate. When he's in that warehouse and he's just kicking ass, I was like... That's it. That's amazing.
That was fucking brilliant. Because Superman, yeah, he's there to fight your big monsters. But Batman, he's meant to be smart and he can take on the humans in a way that Superman would be excessive.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Superman would, like, flick him in the head and still probably snap their neck.
Yeah. Yeah. There was, like, there's some good YouTube shows about the actual physics. If you got hit by Superman and stuff like that, you literally just evaporate.
This is going to sound like too much information, but there was once this essay put out about Superman's sperm and whether it would literally destroy any human woman entered. Because it would come at such a speed and such a strength that it would actually puncture through her body.
Like a shotgun through her back.
Like a shotgun. and because it's super and everything about him is like super, it would be like, need to go get some eggs to fertilize. And it would just like, go find eggs.
So it would fly off and just sort of like...
Yeah, and just like impregnate random women if it didn't shotgun blast them. So the entire premise of the essay was that's why Superman can only have sex with other metahumans and stuff like that.
Well, that's kind of like the mall rats thing, isn't it? Where they're talking about that in the food court. And he says, this isn't a food court, this is an eatery.
And I remember reading this. I was like 16 when I read this, which I was like, this, you know, start as you mean to go on, read weird shit from an early age and just like absorb that.
was really good. I have to say, there's some really good essays. There's a really good one, and I can't remember the guy's name, but he does one on why stormtroopers always miss. And it's not like they always miss. They're highly trained, efficient killers. It's just that when they're fighting things, when they're fighting heroes with faces and stuff that they can see.
Yeah.
You know, you can shoot a stormtrooper because he's you don't see his face and you don't see, you know, he's effectively a robot because he's not a person.
Yeah.
Whereas when they are shooting at physical human beings, not clones anymore, they're average Joes and stuff.
Yeah.
And so some of them might not want to shoot, you know, or to kill them, so they may sort of veer off and shoot. And it's well thought out.
Like a subversive kind of like, this is how I rebel by just being shit at my job.
Yeah, subconscious things. They don't really want to, they don't want to kill anybody and stuff.
Which,
like,
let's be honest, how many people have done that at their job? Like, I honestly just want to quit, so I'm going to steal the creamer.
Is that how you lost your last job?
Damn it. insert incoming lawsuit.
Okay. Well, we'll leave it there then.
Yeah,
so, well, this has been very good.
I'm gonna put on my real shoes.
And you've got and you're back tomorrow with
Yennefer from The Witcher 3: The Wild Hunt.
Yennefer, thanks. Well, I will be back. I'll probably not bring my camera. I'm just going to bring my camera and take some photographs and stuff like that. But thank you very much, everybody, for joining us. This has been MCM 2018, the Manchester version of. I've been Matt Geary. She has been
Laura Benson. Yo.
The okay, wonder.
Sorry. Every time there's this comedian who used to be like, you know, someone goes, oh, if you need any help, I'm Amanda. What if I don't need help? Who are you? So every time you're like, I've been Matt Geary, I'm like, who else could you have been?
Steve.
Sorry, I've just completely fucked that. My name was Laura Benson, and still is. Lola in Progress, Matt Geary, MCM, Geek Pride.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.